Without love, knowledge may threaten without comfort and without love, this promise may threaten your dependence on God, your dependence. That's why we have put in verse 2 there. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing. Yet, as we go to God. What? The first step to true knowledge is to know our own ignorance. And actually, the person who doesn't have knowledge, he may take it from me that he knows everything. But once he starts to study and to get knowledge, he will give this realization that there is no limit for knowledge. So the more I study, the more I realize my own ignorance. So the first step to true knowledge is to know our own ignorance. But if anybody is bound up with the first knowledge, actually, he has not gotten the right path of the true knowledge. That's what the Lord is saying. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, if anyone thinks that he is knowledgeable, I know so, then actually he knows nothing. Yet, as he ought to know. Because if you are growing in the right path of knowledge, then actually the more you grow knowledge, the more you will realize how deeper you are. Verse 3. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. That's what he's saying. Without God, there is no true knowledge. He has the appearance of knowledge, but not true knowledge. Love is the truth of true knowledge. So why does this knowledge? Knowledge to serve one another. This is the best knowledge. When you study, when you believe, what's the difference? If the first is so off, in the other ground, track. But the purpose of any knowledge is to serve one another, this is love. So love is the source of true knowledge. And who is love? God is love. So he says, but if anyone loves God, of course, if you love God, then your heart will be full of love. Then actually, you will be known by God. This person can be interpreted in two ways. If anyone loves God, this one is known by him. This one can be clear, fearful, or can be fearful God. Are you not known by him? Him is capitalized. So, the end will be assumed that this one refers to the person and he refers to God. That's what was the interpretation. So that would say, if anyone loves God, then this person is known by God. And if he's known by God, then he will have access to the true knowledge. Because to love God is knowing, but not love God without knowing. And if you know God, you will be known by God. And if you are known by God, then actually you will have access to the true knowledge. But actually, this verse has been interpreted the other way. If anyone loves God, this one, this God, the God, is known by him, known by the person. So as this is what I'm saying, if If you love God, then you will know God. And this is the full knowledge. So this one can be feared either to be person or to God. But the meaning in the two interpretations is the same action. If you love God, then actually you will know God, so you will have access to the full knowledge, and you will be known by God. So whether you take this way or take that way, you know, it is both ways. And it is love is the source to true knowledge. It is the access towards true knowledge. Without love, we have that feeling of knowledge that we never have the true knowledge. How does the whole lady of foundation here of the primitive of love over knowledge? Man is typically in the access of the Christian. Considering the eating of things over to life, we know from biology, we know that an item is not in the world. And that there is no other God but one. So that could start by using their item, the item of the knowledge. So look at your item is great. If we are speaking about knowledge, we know that an idol is something. The idol is not to God. The idol is not even a living being. He is made of wood, stone, or metal. So there is only one true God, the God whom we worship. So you correct. Idol is something. All of us know that I was God. It's not a God. Just fine. But even if there are so-called gods, so-called because they are not true gods, but these gods that the people worship, that the creator worship, will have been made like sun, moon, stars. All on earth, like people who worship something. As there are many gods and many lords, also the thought is saying, many times we refer to people as gods and Lord. Even the scripture used to be true. When the Father said, I think you are God and the children of the Most High. So how come the scripture calls people or angels God and Lord? Because we were divinely created. So their power came from God. So because we have power from God, that's why we may call them God of the small sheep. This doesn't mean we are divine. This doesn't mean their essence requires God, absolutely not. But when you say Lord of God, this refers to the power that we are received from God. But very much said, even there are some men are called God of Lord. Even some people worship God in heaven or so called God in heaven or so called God on earth. Let's say, yet for us believers, for us the Christians, there is one God. So we will speak about the two gods, only one God. So we Christians are not going to three gods. One God. There is only one God. The Father of whom our all things. and be for him. And what Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. So here can we see that that was speaking about one God, but it's two words saying Father and Son. And of course, that's a good thing. So our God is, he has said what is it? We call Triune God, one God, three and ten. For us, there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things. He is supposed to be the creator. So, all creation drives the existence from God, the Father, he is the creator. Of whom are all things. And we for him, he was we for him. We are created for him. We are created to serve him, to worship. We are created to glorify him. So God the Father is the end, is the goal for whom we must live. So all our life should be for him. And what about Jesus Christ, through whom are all things? He used from whom to the Father, through whom to the Son. Why? Because God created the world through the Son. That's why the Son, through the Son, we are created. So we are created by the Father, through the Father. That's why he said about the Father, said from whom? About the Son, through whom? And he used one word in contrast to the main word in small terms of the heathen world. So through the Son, all of us were created for spirit and government. Through whom are all things and through whom we live. We live for the Father, but we live through the Son. He is one. Through the Son, through his death on the cross, through the Holy Spirit that he sent us, through his sacrifice, through which we have access to the Father, and we have access to all the spiritual blessings. That's why we are living through the Father. We live through him, have access to the Father in him and the Son, and have access to all spiritual blessings. So, in this, 4, 5, and 6, 10 points and 12, the knowledge that I will trust him. So there is no other God except one God, the two gods, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, not everybody has this knowledge. Some people believe that I was a God. Not everybody has this knowledge. However, there is not in everyone the knowledge. Not everyone has the same knowledge that I will come. For some, with conscience of the idol, until man sees it as a thing over to an idol. It says, some people, even among the Christians, could not realize that an idol is not. That's why they believe if they see sacrifices offered to the idol, as if they are paying respect and honor to the idol. That's why for them they feel it is unlawful to eat such flesh. However, there is not in everyone the knowledge. Knowledge, not in everyone. Not everyone has the same knowledge, but others have the same. For some, some people, with conscience of the other, conscience of either need to other, conscience means we have wrong information about the idol, that's why the conscience is sensitive to the idol. The wrong information leads to believe that the idol will be some sort of power of God. That's why we feel it is unlawful to eat flesh of an idol. Now eat it as a big over of an idol, and then conscience being weak is defiled. And then conscience being weak is defiled. What is the new conscience? When Paul actually spoke about these five of conscience, the weak conscience, that inspired conscience, and the dead conscience. The weak conscience is very sensitive conscience. Very sensitive conscience. He considers not to faith as a law because of wrong information. So the weak conscience is the conscience of the people who are not fighting for. That's why this conscience very easily can be defiled. Very easily can feel guilt, can be lost even from some practices that are wrong. Because it is a conscience. The dead conscience is the conscience that actually doesn't feel guilty at all. Even from things that are not law. Give you an example. A dead conscience does not feel guilty regarding homosexuality. A weak conscience considers marriage itself. So you are good to see. Weak conscience wrongly informed, so they consider that marriage is dead, so he has a good marriage. Dead conscience doesn't feel guilty, even regarding homosexuality. But that inspired conscience is a conscience that inspired by the Holy Spirit, who sees things as they really are, as God sees them. So, when we speak about what's lawful and what's unlawful, it is based on God's economy, God's plan, God's decision, not my perception. So, those people, because they are not being informed that the idol is something, when we eat meat over the idol, their conscience is defiled, they feel guilty because they consider themselves respected and offered honor to the idol. Rather, they put food around the knowledge and they affirm that their knowledge is correct, nothing is for idol or idol to money. They actually start about love. But here, some people have wrong conscience. How do you deal with that? Verse 84. Yes. Food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we forever, nor if we do not eat are we reward. So the argument is as follows. If we decide to eat this flesh or this meat, based on your knowledge that I will not, knowledge, so he ate the prophet's meat, so he forgot himself. The truth does not commend me to God. And if you say, I will not eat this meat over the eye, because I do not offend my new brother. He said, if you make such a decision, that you will not eat meat in order not to offend your brother, but to see you are a bad person. That's what I'm going to say. Meat neither present us as commanded, nor as meat approved before God. It does not affect our preference for God. If you eat, you will not be more holy. If you do not eat, you will not be more worthy. That's what he said in verse 8. Food does not commend us to God. Now he actually is proposing to our lady. It's better not to eat. Because if you don't eat, you are not worthy, and if you eat, you are not better. But now here, with the spirit of God, should consider your new brother. Food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we commended, nor if we do not eat are we pure. But beware lest some have this liberty of yours, for liberty of Christ, they cut a stumbling block to those who are weak. The point that is speaking, a Christian, an Egyptian, Christ set us free. So, why are you leading Christ from my liberty? Why I cannot enjoy my liberty to Christ? Why? The point that is speaking. Yes, you are leading Christ. But be careful, be watchful. Then your liberty, a beautiful enough, will offend your brother, your weak brother. And if you feel offended your weak brother, then actually you are abusing your liberty to Christ. And if you are seeing from your brother, then you are not losing any part of your chain. If you decide not to eat meat over to others who your brother is eating, but this makes you not Christian, not at all. Actually, this will make you more Christian. And if you receive the food that over to others, do you think you will be more holy? No. Because your brother is stumbling, actually, I think you are offending Christ himself. That's why sin, our weak brethren, is an abuse of liberty. Even we do something wrong, but as I told you, knowledge to say all things are wrong, but love has, but not all things is wrong. So, if you took my liberty, will offend my brethren, then I am abusing my liberty in Christ. The true liberty, the true freedom, is that we should have consideration of our weak brethren. I am free not to offend my brother, but I am free to edify my brother. Again, why God set us free? Not to offend others, but God set us free. Use this freedom to serve others, to edify others, to bring others to Christ. There was a stumbling block that you mentioned in verse 9, but beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. Stumbling block, not to one. Suppose my brother to sin, because if this is something God here, and when I walk, I will stumble against and fall. So So suffering loss in a spiritual sense means causing my brother to fall, to sin. And who are the weak brethren? Those who are not willing to fall. Those who are wrongly informed are wrongly informed. If anyone sees you to have knowledge, even in an idle temple, so you have knowledge, please say, I will come. And you decided to go and eat in an idle temple. I have your weak brother, and I am wrongly informed that I want to God, or is he God? Then I saw you sitting in part of the temple. I will say, this person is a faithful Christian who has this knowledge, eating and paying honor to the idols. So maybe as well I should pay honor to idols. Then actually, I may start paying honor and respect to the idol because then actually you will because you respect. That's what the Lord says. If anyone sees you who has knowledge, eating in an idol temple, will not the conscience of him who is me be involved in God, you will dare to eat those things over to others. So you encourage them. You encourage them to pay respect and pay honor to the others. So a weaker Christian should see a stronger one, a leader, sitting at such events. This would lead him to believe that he was honoring the idol. And this example of this leader would encourage a lot. The word involvement from the word water means to build up. But here, building up instead, you make me dare to offer respect and honor to the idol. From the knee over to the eye. But we as Christians, we also build up one another in good, not in bad, not to violate one's conscience. And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish. When the weak brother starts to pay respect and honor to our human flesh. So, because of your knowledge, you will be rather perfect. But you conduct that for whom Christ are. So here actually, you can not think you will be rather, but you can be trying to. And the good position is that as you can, you will save you, brother. And that actually will push that every one of us about our religion. We cannot say, I am here, am I a brother of my brother? Yes. We have a concern about our religion. We need to inspire our heart. So, through your knowledge, the knowledge that means your big brother didn't eat, you might destroy your big brother. But remember, Christ died for the weak brother, to save him. That's right. But when you thus stand against the brethren and move the good weak conscience, you stand against Christ. So when you save your brother and you move the good conscience, this thing will be against Christ, not against the brethren. result can be offended or struck. Result of offended righteousness. So, here, if Allah is the rule of knowledge, I will be. But if I apply the rule of love, love and respect would demand from me that they should get up to me. The point is proved by saying, therefore, if food makes my brother suffer, if food makes my brother smell for poor, I will never again, eat meat. Lest I make my brother suffer. This is the rule of law. I will never eat meat. I will give it up to you. In order not to offend my brother, rule Christ suffer. Let us try to apply this principle. Constant apply to many, many areas. But I will choose one area which is great. Many people argue that Allah's knowledge, not the world, argue that alcohol is not wrong. Drinking is alcohol is not wrong. And yet, I'm telling you, knowledge wise, drinking alcohol is not wrong. If drinking alcohol is wrong, it will infuse wine into the wine. So drinking alcohol, as also the fifth, Christianity does not condemn, you know, the use of the substance, but Christianity condemns the abuse of the substance. So, if you are not to give your argument on knowledge, let's drink wine. Nothing wrong, because all things are wrong. But if you are a Muslim or some good servant, or a Hindu Christian, a regular attendant in the church, and then your graduate graduation, birthday, wedding, some have drink and wine or alcohol, and people, we Christians, with deep conscience, that's what they mean, with conscience that is wrongly important, they start to see a great deal. So, they will start to engage and pray, because so and so, this leader is great. And they end up in a new substance abuse, alcoholic, they end up as alcoholic. And actually, because of your knowledge, you made your brother to stumble, to fall, to fail, and maybe to hurt, to remove Christ God. So what should you do? If you apply the principle of love, not the principle of knowledge, the Christian principle, the rule of love is, if drinking alcohol caused my brother to say, I will never again drink alcohol, lest I make my brother suffer. I will never again drink alcohol, lest my brother suffer. And actually, the question of alcohol, many people argue about this question based on knowledge. But as the Quran told us tonight, these questions are not questions of knowledge, but they are questions of love. Knowledge must pass, love to be passed. And you can apply this example in many ways, so it is different.
Thank you. Thank you.